And only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, there's an election coming up on May 7th. Today's a Tuesday, so it's a political day. And we have in the studio here with me Josh Church and Aaron Lejewski. And gentlemen, how you doing?
I'm good, David. Thank you for having us on the program.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're doing great here, and I am excited to talk about this today. And I just smile every time I hear your music come on, back from a time when the cars were cool and they didn't have to worry about the price of gas.
57 Chevy, baby.
That's right.
I know. It gets interesting. I guess the first thing I want to jump into is a community perspective written by Lyle Oldmixon that came in Sunday's paper, and it made me laugh because at the same time, Barbara Haney had posted a conversation of the borough assembly questioning the borough mayor and the chief of staff and the head of finance or the budget, and I believe the question came from Liz Ramos Reeves, and you can tell that they didn't, you know, they're newer, so they don't understand the budget process, but she specifically asked, could they take money from, say, the KIP that's going towards the animal shelter and put that into the school fund? And the mayor shocked and surprised him. He said, yes, by statutory I must put it in. But you guys can take it out and put it where you want.
I wrote that ordinance.
Yeah, and I just saw the look on their face. I just saw the look on their face like they've been had. And then I looked at the community perspective by Laura Oldmixon the same day. And she's saying, the first thing she says is, first, it says a fact-based argument for supporting Prop A. And she said, first fact is in 2023, the assembly, and led by Mr. Lejewski, cut the borough's income by $20 million. That reduction is not working. Today, the borough does not have enough money to fund essential community services, including our struggling schools.
Do you want me to address that?
Yes, I do. Okay. I've been waiting for this, man. I know what the answer is, but Mr. Lejewski, you're running for mayor. Think the world of you. And she gave misinformation right there.
Well, there's a kernel of truth, but it's being heavily misconstrued and misinterpreted.
Misinformation.
So we have this thing called the tax cap, mm-hmm. and one of the biggest drivers of growth in the borough tax cap is the official inflation reading. So they take certain months. It's not going to be the year end. They're doing, weird fiscal years that start July 1st. But they take whatever the readings come in, and the tax cap escalates by a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everyone
CPI index
here,
and growth here. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone listening here remembers that we just went through a bout of inflation. We're not necessarily done with it altogether. It slowed down. But we went through a bout of inflation where we had the highest readings
mm-hmm.
in 40 years. Over 40 years, if I recall. 41, 42 years.
And the CPI index is based out of Anchorage, and they had an 8% inflation factor.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that we had an unprecedented period where the tax cap grew
yeah.
faster. And a growth in tax cap doesn't obligate an assembly to tax more. It gives them the legal ability to tax more. So what happened was, in combination with a record growth in the tax cap, we had an assembly that was very responsible with taxpayers' dollars and figured out how to not utilize all that growth. So what they're complaining about is we had the ability to tax a whole bunch, and we didn't. And so they're trying to construe this as the sky's on fire and the schools are burning, or something like that.
Go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say, I mean, we see the same thing like in national politics when the media reports. People say, oh, or congressmen will say, we cut spending by, 4%. And you look at it, and, well, what they did is they cut the projected planned growth, and they count that as a cut. And that's really all the same thing.
That sounds like something from the Clinton administration.
Yeah, I mean, this is a trick that's been going on in politics for a long time. So they take what they wanted to spend, and then they say, well, we didn't spend all that, so it was a cut. I was like, not really how it works.
But your budget grew.
Exactly.
Yeah, let me give you some numbers here. And these are just, this isn't the overall budget, because there's other forms of revenue other than taxes, like interest income and so forth. But our record tax levy on the local population on us was in 2021, 2022. And that was, I'm going to round, it was $145 million. And the next, that was under a fairly liberal borough assembly. Now, here's the irony. The next year, also under a fairly liberal borough assembly, the tax levy dropped from 145 to 136.
So you dropped to what, $9 million?
The liberals cut taxes by
$9 million.
And then under the alleged conservative assembly, and I think we were, at least fiscally conservative, we took it from the 136 to, and I'm going to round here, to 132. So we cut taxes by $4 million. They cut taxes by $9 million, and now somehow we're the
bad
man for cutting taxes too much, even though we did it half as much as they did.
Well, that's just,
Which I'm not exactly proud to say, because I wish we would have. Well, here's what I would say. We should also be looking at the top line level of government. So what I can tell you is one of the best ways to measure the size of the government is to look at the FTE count, which is the full-time equivalent employees, the employee count of the government. And it goes up and up and up. And over the last 10 years, it's virtually every year, it goes up a little bit, not a lot, but like one or two every year, just keeps going up. Meanwhile, the borough population is slightly down or stagnant. And you wonder if we keep growing government and the population stays the same, at some point, you got a problem.
Yeah.
But what we did is we did cut the FTE last year. It was only by like one or two. I'd have to go back and look at the budget book. It was marginal, but it was like the first time in like,
a lifetime.
Yeah, we can't remember the last time the FTE count went down.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I mean, the reality that Aaron, who really knows the number and numbers, and I think he'd be great for mayor, but the reality that he's pointing out is, we've basically just restrained growth of government at a time when a lot of the working class people in this town were struggling with inflation, high credit card debt, higher cost of living than average, higher energy, rising property taxes. So it was a wise decision for the borough assembly to not spend the maximum amount. And now the voters are being sort of given this bait and switch where they're told there was this massive
cut.
And we need to make up this funding, and don't worry, it's only temporary, and it'll just be used for education, which both of those are not correct. This assembly or the next assembly can use it for whatever they want, and it's permanent unless they vote to change it in the future. So,
and what they can also do is take this year's budget, and they're doing a budget right now, and spend exactly what they want to spend on the school district from their budget that they're crafting right now.
Well, let me talk about that. This is nuts and bolts kind of mechanics of how that's done. Ordinarily, if it was the middle of the year and you had some savings, you want to appropriate it on the assembly, you'd have to go take it to finance, take it to the attorney. It'd probably take you a month if you fast-tracked it to get the thing passed, like a whole month.
Yeah.
But right now, since the budget's basically already on the table, all you have to do is you can scrawl out a amendment on a piece of paper if you're an assembly member and say, hey, transfer $5 million from pot A to pot B, and if you got five votes, boom, it's done, just like that. It's very, very easy and simple, and I'm sure it's the same in the city. When you have the budget already on the floor,
exactly.
It's so easy to make adjustments.
Yeah, that's when you do it. And right now is their perfect time to do it.
Well,
They're in that time frame.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, if you go ask for some Freedom of Information requests, which some people have done recently, I've seen the texts, the people pushing for this yes vote had a conversation where they said, hey, we found an extra $13 million in the budget we didn't know we had. Do we still need to do this vote? And then the conversation was, well, let's talk about this privately. So I don't know what was discussed privately when they went offline from their text message, but the reality is, even they know they don't need this vote, but they already kind of had it in the organization, and so why not? We've already got the sponsors to pay for the signs. We can raise taxes. Let's go for it. But they know they've got the money to pay for the schools right now that they could just write a check.
I was down in Juneau about a month ago. Myself, the mayor from Nenana, the Fairbanks North Star Borough mayor, the mayor from Kent, well, you know, five mayors were all down there. And Mayor Ward was getting beat up badly because the week before, they fined $13 million. They have a vote to spend $33 million on a animal shelter. And then they have a vote to have a special election on May 7th. And everyone's looking at him. He was not treated well.
I really like Mayor Ward.
And he's down there trying to get more money for the school.
I really, really am fond of Mayor Ward.
I like Mayor Ward, too. I like Mayor Ward, too. He was in an impossible situation.
Yeah, maybe I would make a lot worse decisions if I was in his shoes. It's easy to criticize from the outside. But as much as I like him, I think he's a consensus builder, and sometimes that's not what you need. That's great a lot of times, but sometimes you need somebody to say no and hold the line and be an adult in the room when they're just asking for more money. And so I think he made the wrong decision here, but that's easy for me to say on the outside.
Well, I believe if we had him on, and I don't know, have you had Mayor Ward on this topic?
Yes, and he was told by legal he couldn't talk about the topic.
Okay, well, I believe what he would say, if he could, is he would say he was in favor of the special election until the $13 million was discovered, and then he's probably in favor of an adjustment to the tax cap, but thinks that this is the wrong way to do it since we have more than enough liquidity to cover any short-term issues. And there he probably would say, hey, this would be appropriate for the October election, not a special election. That's my guess.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. If you have a call-in question, we'll be back in a few minutes.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRizi and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 47. Easterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 27. Daytime highs approaching 53. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joshua Church. He's on the Finance Committee at the City of Fairbanks. He reviews all of our financials to make sure our bottom line is a good bottom line to continue what we do. And then we have Aaron Lajewski, who was on the Borough Assembly for 6 years and is running for Borough Mayor and also knows the budget of the borough inside and out, I would think. Much better than Lyle Oldmixon, who said, quote, Proposition A would restore just $10 million of the $20 million 2023 decrease. And it was, what, $4 million?
Right. So if we're rounding our last year's tax tax burden on folks was $132 million. That's total local taxes on page 113 of the budget book.
Down from 2022 of?
Down from 136 if we're rounding. So we're looking at about a $4 million decrease.
Not $20 million decrease.
We could have increased taxes by $20
million. But what she said is you reduced it $20 million when you only reduced it $4 million in 2023.
Yeah, so I think we should be actually, if anything, thanked for not taxing people an extra $20 million when we didn't need to. That would have been irresponsible of the Borough Assembly.
Well, but she wrote a fact-based argument.
I can tell you how that originated. It's very obvious to me. So Josh and I were invited to present the no case to the chamber meeting. What was that, a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
And the other side gave their argument, and much of it was they had an online poll, which was pretty cool use of technology, but where you could log in on your phone, and then the results would be tabulated on the screen through the PowerPoint, and it was like, who's your favorite teacher?
The one that was the easiest.
Right, so they're doing things like that, but the problem is they weren't, like, this is a financial question here, and they weren't making the case for why the borough has failed to fund education. They weren't making the case for why the borough doesn't have the money to fund education and why it needs more. And they were, instead of saying, well, who's your favorite teacher, and they were kind of making these kind of quasi-related arguments, but they weren't really addressing the core of the issue. So when we came up, I made a statement, I think it was quoted in the paper, and maybe on the TV station as well, but I said, hey, I'm not going to make emotional arguments for you guys. I'm going to give a fact-based argument as to why you can.
That's where she got fact-based.
And then I pulled slides from the borough budget book, and I stitched together numbers, actual numbers, like actual facts, and I told a truthful story based off of those numbers. And so now you have this community perspective where I got to tell you, a lot of the statements in it are just wrong. Like, one of them alleges that I was this big champion of the debt service fund. I created it and everything. And David, I had nothing to do with the debt service fund whatsoever. Mm-hmm. What the person who wrote that is misconstruing is I'm kind of the father of the capital improvement capital reserve. I basically drove the vision for the modern version of it. Mm-hmm. And that is totally different than a debt service fund. They're just not the same thing.
No, they're not. No, they are not.
So she's... At any rate, there's just so many things that are just not right in there, and it's bizarre. But let me give you a couple a fact here. The mayor's, and this is going to be rounded to the nearest million, the mayor's proposed budget, which is at the tax cap for this upcoming year, is $139 million. Mm-hmm. If a $10 million increase goes through, that puts it at what? $149. That will be a record tax load on us. That's total local taxes out of the budget book. Page 113. Just add 10 to it, and that's what you got.
You know what's interesting to note about that? I mean, there's so many interesting things with what Aaron said, but you know, that's like roughly three times what the city's budget is. The city has, you know, about a third of the population, so you say, oh, that sounds about right. But the borough doesn't have police. The borough doesn't have fire. There's a lot of things that the city provides that the borough doesn't. The borough provides some things the city doesn't, like a library, but
Parks and Rec and assessing.
But it's interesting to note how expensive some of the, what we might say, non-essential services are in the borough. And another thing that's interesting about this is Aaron's talking about, if we look at the numbers, there's been modest tax decreases at a time when people are feeling the bite of inflation, and so we're helping the community, we're trying to get growth because the Fairbanks boroughs has been declining in population since 2010, so we need to stimulate growth, not raise taxes. But the other side, unfortunately, has been caught up with the emotion of saving our schools, which is important, but they haven't fully looked into the issue, and the borough, inflation adjusted, has actually been a consistent funder and has slightly increased its funding per student to the schools. So really what's happened is there's been a state reduction in funding, and partially that's because the schools have been badly run, and so there is, in addition to the population decrease in the borough, there are more people pulling their kids out of the schools and going to homeschooling and charter schools. And so that is where the lack of funding is. The borough has actually been increasing. So the reality is the borough has the money to fund it. The borough has been a consistent funding partner. If they want to increase more, the borough can do that. We have the cash reserves, or we could look at, you know, potentially reducing some of these less essential services. But it appeals to people to just come to them and say, our schools are in trouble, give us more money, rather than digging into the numbers and saying, okay, do we need $33 million for a puppy palace, or do we need another park, or maybe there's some land we can sell to generate some extra revenue because the borough has 70,000 acres of land they're not using. You know, there's a lot of solutions when you dig into the facts, but it's easier, I think, for some people with good hearts to just write community perspectives and just say, give us more money and we'll solve the problem.
Very well put.
Well, I'm going to touch a couple of things. So yes, one of the facts that I brought up is I did bring in the borough contributions for the last 6 or 7 years and put them in a chart, and I adjusted them per student. So I checked the enrollment numbers, historical enrollment numbers, and then adjusted for inflation. And that's where I made the discovery, because everyone was making all these claims, right? I wanted to put on my economist hat. I've got a master's degree in economics. I'm like, well, what's the truth here? What's going on? From a local perspective, we have been incredibly stable, adjusted for inflation and per student contribution to the school district. So when you look at some of these headlines of potential school closures or whatever, it is not due to the borough. It is absolutely not due to the borough and its level of funding. One of the causes is the school district has lost about 10% of its students.
Yes.
And so I asked the question rhetorically to the chamber group, but I said, hey, you know, if over the next 5 or 10 years, the student population in our school district doubled, shouldn't we have twice the number of schools and or our schools double their capacity, some combination thereof, to accommodate the influx of students? And I think the answer is obviously yes, you should. And then I said, well, what if our school district lost half of its population? Does that mean we would need to consolidate some of our schools, which is more painful than growing, but does it mean you have to make consolidations? And, you know, I just asked that question. But I want to – so that actually explains, because we've lost, you know, 10% of our students, that actually explains half of the closures. It doesn't explain all of them. I think the rest of that number can be explained by largely from BSA and state funding issues. It's not just BSA. It's actually much more complex to BSA. There does need to be funding reform at the state level. I want to give you some basic numbers here first, but maybe we can get back to the state funding, because there's some really wonky things that are really interesting to talk about that people ought to know about. But when it comes to the borough financing, I want to talk about this because I was the one who brought it forward. It was technically public information, but it hadn't gone out into the public sphere. Like, nobody seemed to know about it. It was hiding in plain sight. So everyone did know about the extra 13. So this is what I want everyone listening to know, is that the borough has its generic checking account. They call it the general fund. All right. And as of the last report, I'm going to go ahead and round here. There were $42 million in it. But that doesn't mean they got $42 million that they can just go spend willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. Okay. According to official accounting guidance, which they should follow, they need to keep a certain percentage of their budget in reserve as the actual recommended rainy day fund. So that amount is about $28 million. So the $28 million of the $42 is like,
about,
hey, 20%, keep your hands off.
About 20%.
Yeah, something like that. The mayor, in his proposed budget, is proposing actually a deficit budget, and he's proposing to balance that by spending down from some of the surplus in the general fund. So he's proposing to spend $3.5 million out of that to balance his budget. So that means in the general fund, if you assume what the mayor says is going to go, and honestly, the person who writes the budget kind of has the most say, so it's pretty likely to go. There's actually a net surplus of $9.6 million in the general fund. Okay, that's just extra money that they can do whatever they want with. And maybe they should do one-off tax reduction, whatever. There's things that can be done. But that's $9.6 million. So that's been public. That's not really, probably not shocked anyone listening.
And how much are they trying to raise $10 million?
Well, that's an interesting thing, though, yes.
Yeah. It's just sort of an apparent.
So we also have this thing called the debt service fund, and this comes into that community perspective where I was being attacked for an idea. Our debt service fund, if you look at historical budget books, usually has frictional amounts of cash in it. So sometimes for the debt service fund, that does mean like $500,000. It's huge by a personal perspective. But from a government that's spending, you know, $150, $200 million a year, at the end of the day, that's frictional cash. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. So what happened was many, many years ago, and this is before I was paying attention to politics, the state of Alaska, in its infinite wisdom, decided that it should incentivize local governments into going into debt. Literally, they were paying governments to go into debt. It's called the school bond debt reimbursement. I'm sure people listening have heard of it before.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's probably on the way out. It's seen better days. But they would pay up to 90 cents Yep, we got 1 minute.
Yep.
90 cents on the dollar so that the local taxpayer wouldn't have to pay it. And so there were a few years where the state did what I call quasi-default. They didn't pay up on that. Mm-hmm. Well, then what happened was after a few years of that, the legislature said, well, we missed these payments for the last 3 years. Hey, local governments, we're going to do a one-off lump sum and make you whole. And for us, we got something to the tune of $25 to $30 million. So, and that landed in the debt service fund. And we can continue talking about that when we come back.
We will. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. We're going to give you a little bit of bumper music with Eric Clapton, pretending that's got to be from Melissa. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The jury selection continues in former President Donald Trump's New York hush money trial. He's accused of falsifying business records ahead of the 2016 presidential election. Trump's accused the judge in the case of political bias. He spoke outside the Manhattan courthouse.
This trial is a disgrace. We have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who shouldn't be on this case. He's totally conflicted.
Well, this judge has put a gag order on Trump because of repeated threats and attacks against court workers and witnesses. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says the U.S. not looking for war with Iran despite rising tensions with Israel.
The president does not want to see it. He said this before. Does not want to see a war with Iran. Don't want to see the conflict widen or deepen.
Israel allegedly struck an Iranian embassy in Syria, killing two Iranian generals earlier this month. As America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports that the state of Alaska extended its annual deadline for residents to swap out their studded winter tires by 15 days due to what they called prolonged winter weather. Most of South Central Alaska has seen near record-setting snowfall this winter. Anchorage tied the mark for second snowiest winter all time for the city on Friday after reaching 132.6 inches of snow, much more than the Anchorage seasonal average of around 75 inches of snow. Monday's emergency order issued by the Alaska Department of Public Safety Commissioner James Cockrell extended the deadline for all Alaskans living above the 60th parallel from May 1st to May 15th. The line that marks 60 degrees longitude stretches across the southern portion of the state from south of Bethel to the southern Kenai Peninsula and north of the southeast panhandle. That means the emergency studded tire order affects the majority of Alaskans, since places like Anchorage, Palmer, Wasilla, Fairbanks, Kenai, Soldotna, and Seward all sit north of the 60th parallel.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Okay, this might be a little cliche, but we now interrupt regular programming for a subject near and dear to my heart, me, your radio. Hey, if you run a business, you know it's a challenge, and getting new customers is really tough. To grow your business, may I suggest me, your radio. Radio is everywhere, which means you can reach potential customers in the car, at work, at home, and at play. No other media can say that. Radio reaches more consumers within 2 hours of their largest purchase of the day than any other media. You say you'd like to use radio advertising, but you don't know where to start, or it's all overwhelming? I'm your radio. You can trust me, right? Call us today and find out how radio delivers results. We now return you to your regular programming. That is like my favorite thing in the world to say.
Hi, I'm Perry Wally, General Manager. Promote your business to thousands of potential customers every week. To learn more, call me at 907-451-5910 or go to advertisefairbanks.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Josh Church and Aaron Lujewski in the studio here with me. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, if you have a call in question. You know, it's sadly interesting, the misconceptions that those people who want to impose this tax, what they're saying. Again, truth-based, fact-based. From them, it's neither.
Well, so to go back to that debt service fund, I was talking about how the state kind of reimbursed us for payments they failed to make. And some of the listeners might be wondering, well, how did we pay those bonds in those years when the state didn't pony up? Well, the answer is we raised taxes.
Yeah.
So we had an excess tax burden on those years. That's actually part of the reason why we've seen the tax amount drop over the last couple of years, even under a more liberal borough assembly. It is absolutely part of the reason. Part of the reason is
you didn't curtail growth. You just didn't have to pay the debt service.
Say that again?
You didn't curtail growth of government.
Sure.
You just had to pay the. You just didn't have to pay the debt.
Well, and that's one of the great things that looking at the employee count of the borough for a proxy for the size is that it kind of cuts through all that. But at any rate, so the fact of the matter is if you go back and look at these old budget books, we usually kept frictional cash, low levels in the debt service fund. Then we got this windfall, basically, of I forget how much it was, but let's say it was in the $25 to $30 million ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is largely still sitting there. It's been spent down a little bit. It actually has. And no one's been paying attention to it. But so it's sitting at $25.8 million right now. So if you want around, you could call it $26 million. So that money is just sitting there. It's surplus. It is just sitting there accumulating money market interest, which is great that it's making a little bit of money.
Let me interject. Lael Oldmixon said, quote, according to Mr. Lajewski, the much-needed borough fund should come from the borough's $26 million debt service fund. But this is dangerously misleading. The fact is, the debt service fund is dedicated savings fund with the purpose of payback bonds on buildings owned by the borough. It's not a slush fund.
Yeah, so the way it used to work historically is if we had, say, $10 million of debt payments that year, you'd go tax for $10 million. You'd put it in at as tax rolls paid up, and then you'd pay out over the course of the fiscal year.
It's a pass-through account.
Exactly. It's not meant to accumulate. So, but the first part of the statement is just absolutely wrong. There's no such thing as a dedicated fund in Alaska, except for something like, I don't know, the permanent fund that's constitutionally enshrined. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, and that's what, well, that's why it's constitutionally enshrined. Because otherwise, it's constitutionally illegal to have dedicated funds in
Alaska. And available to have anyone spend out of it.
Yeah. So this money's there, and because they're in budget time right now, if they wanted to, and I'm not saying they should, but I'm saying if they wanted to, they could float a simple budget amendment and move $25 million over to the general fund or to the school district or whatever.
The point I want to make is this very, very, very high balance came from your reimbursement from
because
the
state. Because we were overtaxed in previous years.
And it's just sitting there.
It is.
Yeah, and historically, there have been many years where there's been almost no money in that account.
And even I'm sure every year you're going through the budget at the borough and saying, okay, bond reimbursement, boom, we got this amount to put in there.
Yeah, and I'm
from
not
your general
say
account
that having some money in there isn't, it's not worthless. There's some value, but you got to always look at the cost benefit and say, well, what's the benefit versus the cost? So I'll tell you what the benefit of having the money there is. Mm-hmm. It means if the state does do a quasi-default where it doesn't pay up on all its school bond debt reimbursement, it means that we have money sitting there. We can cover it that fiscal year without raising taxes. So basically, it's insurance if the state doesn't come through that we don't have to do a temporary tax hike. So what I'm saying is...
Oh, you mean a temporary tax hike like the one we're doing a special election that's going to cost the taxpayers an extra $125,000 to vote no when they already voted no on it?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
No, but I get what you're going. Okay. Yeah. I get what you're going.
He's being sarcastic in a good way. But hold it. Here's another one. Here she said, also a fact. The debt service fund generates earnings, which are then rolled into the borough's general operating fund. This is a revenue-generating one for the borough and helps keep government taxes low.
Okay, so that's...
Let me finish here. Yesterday, I signed documents to transfer $2 million from what we call in-house savings accounts with, say, Key Bank or someone like that, U.S. Bank, into our operating account to spend money. We keep most of our money that we're not using in cash, in a cash flow savings, in interest-bearing accounts. This is part of it. The borough does that. So this is not the only one they do with. They do with all excess money until they need to use it.
Right. That's what I was going to say, is that if there's excess money in the debt service fund, it's invested in money market funds.
Yeah.
If it gets transferred to the general fund, guess where it's invested?
Money market funds.
So it doesn't change its cash
savings.
It's interest-bearing potential in the slightest bit. Yes, if you spend it down, then it doesn't anymore.
Again, misinformation on her behalf.
Well, it's technically true, but it's being taken wildly out of context to lead the reader to a wrong conclusion.
That's what I call misinformation. Propaganda.
And for the listeners who, you know, maybe get lost in the weeds, maybe they're not as in-depth on the finance as our city mayor and our former assemblyman, Aaron Lajeski, here. These guys know the numbers in and out. But the basic numbers are there's tens of millions of dollars in cash sitting in the borough's account that they could fund this school shortage for years without this special emergency election that's going to cost you extra money. And in addition to that, the school district has millions of dollars in reserves. So the idea that we needed a special election, honestly, I think it's disingenuous, and I think it's kind of unethical. I can't speak to everyone's votes, but I suspect that part of the reason they had this special election is because the voter turnout will be even lower during an off time.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that that's right to have somebody who's not paying attention because they're working their jobs and they're busy with their life, raising their kids and doing stuff, to show up and say, wait, my taxes went up? Why? You didn't realize there was a, well, you were on the North Slope, there was a special election, well, you weren't paying attention to politics. So there's no emergency. If you agree that the schools need more funding, great. Walk down to the borough assembly and tell them to reprioritize some of the cash that's sitting there, or to, if they want to keep that much cash on hand above and beyond their statutory reserve requirement or their policy reserve requirement of $28 million, if they want to keep more above it, fine. Reorganize, cut some other program like the Puppy Palace. Look, they say it's going to be $13 million, but it's not, it's going to be
$33 million,
thank you, which is a mind-blowing number. When it was originally voted on and approved, it was $17 million, which was still a lot.
Which was tough to...
So they haven't even broke ground yet, and we've doubled in price. Now, I don't know if you've ever built a house, but I don't know very many people who have built a house or a commercial building, and I used to work in construction, and my family's all from construction. I don't know very many that start a construction project and don't have cost overruns. Things usually don't end up cheaper after you break ground. So the fact, if we're estimating $33 million now, this thing's probably going to be $40 million.
Yeah.
Do you really want to spend $40 million on an animal control shelter? Is that the priorities right now?
Well, I think the animal control shelter's a sideshow, okay? Because here's the deal. It's a plan to spend money. They haven't appropriated money. They haven't spent the money. They spent a little bit on design work. So really what the assembly and the mayor needs to do is they need to sit down, rescope the project, and get something that meets the cost the community can afford and hits the services that the community wants.
I'm going to read one more thing, then we're going to take a phone call. And this is what she says. Mr. Lajewski has publicly celebrated his role making the responsible decision to create the debt service fund and helping to carve away at our bond debt tax without additional impact on taxpayers. You had nothing to do with creating that fund.
I'm pretty sure if we look it up, that fund was probably in existence before I was born. And I had never claimed any credit around it. What she's confusing is that I created the modern version of the borough's capital fund.
Yep.
So we had something in existence when I was elected called the Facilities Maintenance Reserve Fund. It was rarely used, and I totally transformed that into a recurring cash flow account that would have significant amounts of capital money in so that we could pay for buildings without floating debt and start to pay off the borough debt. And our borough debt service amount has dropped from $19 million to $10 million a year since we've been doing that. It's working.
Exactly.
But that's not the debt service fund.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, we're ready.
But we lost him. Just barely.
But I want to go over a couple of these numbers because this is really the crux of the argument that
Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, to the chamber. So
I've been trying to point out the misinformation she threw at you personally.
She did. And you know what? That's because...
You're in the face of this.
They know I'm running for mayor, and they know I'm very good on policy, and they know that they can't... They kind of have to twist things to try to paint a different story. Otherwise, if they tell the facts, it just doesn't look good.
You're going to lose if they tell the facts.
But here's some facts on the dollar value. So
we got that phone call back, okay? Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning, David. This is Ron in North Pole.
Hello, Ron in North Pole. How are you doing?
I'm well, sir, but I've been listening to the conversation very closely, and to preface what I'm going to say, I read both that article and Mr. Coghill's response, and I never thought post-Senate Bill 91 I would ever agree with Mr. Coghill, but I certainly do. And also, please keep in mind, gentlemen, that you are going up against what I would describe as the Terminator, because the left will never stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, it's big education. It's the NEA, AEA, FEA. But you know something? If we don't try and cure this or tackle this or redirect this or tell the truth about it, then what am I doing behind this mic?
Well, and that's what I'd say, too. I've run for office three times in the borough level. Now I'm running for borough mayor. All three times, the unions that wanted, and not all unions want this necessarily, but all the unions that wanted bigger government, they all opposed me every time.
Yep.
And every time I got elected. And so I'm not beholden to any special interest, and I'm going to keep talking until, as long as I'm alive, you know, I'll keep telling the truth on this.
And I think the number one thing you can do to restrain government is to just hold the tax cap in place, to just restrict their funding. A vote no on this is probably the strongest thing you can do, because then they just have less money to spend on other things. So if you want a sign in your yard or you want to support, you can call me, 907-687-5597, or text 687-5597, and I'll put you in touch or get you a sign for your yard. But we got to get the word out to our friends and neighbors. Vote no on May 7th.
3 weeks from today.
It's coming up quick. The other side is organized. They've got signs everywhere. They've got money, a lot of it coming from the usual out-of-state sources. They're organized, and they're going to push. And the problem is, if you don't look into it, the message sells. Everybody wants good schools, so let's give them more money. And we agree, the borough can give them more money. We just don't need to raise taxes on hardworking people.
Ron, thank you for the phone call, buddy.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
Yep. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
I'll let you
get. Your Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Too much stuff around the house? Have a construction site you want to secure tools and materials while you build? Great news! Independent Rental has your storage solution. We rent brand new 20 and 40 foot storage containers. Store your goods on site here at South Cushman, or we'll bring the container to you. Prices starting at $150 per month. We store vehicles too. Call today. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 47. East winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, 27. Daytime highs approaching 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy and dry Thursday and Friday. Mid-50s Thursday, low 60s by Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Aaron Lajewski and Josh Church in the studio here talking about the vote on May 7th. They are educationally adamantly opposed to the tax increase due to facts, not fiction.
Right. So here's the deal, high level. We have over $41 million in our general fund. We've got over $25 million in our debt service fund. So if we're just doing some back-the-envelope math, what are we up to,
66 million
or something? There's an extra $8 million in the KIP. There's an extra $8 million in the school district reserve. Now, I want to make some clarifications, though. I'm not advocating for the school district spending down its $8 million. It should have $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not advocating for that. They actually should probably have a little bit more in reserve, because their reserves have actually gotten dangerously low in recent years. The KIP funding, that should stay for capital projects. I'm not advocating for that. Although, I'm just saying technically this money can be moved around.
How much cash you got.
Yeah.
What is that?
So $80 million. I'm taking off the table, saying, "Hey, you know, no, we shouldn't touch."
If you add that to the other, what is that? $80 million they've got.
Yeah, we're getting pretty high. And there's additional borough reserves beyond that. If we went into the budget book, they get smaller. And then there's even hidden accounts beyond that too. So when the borough appropriates money for a project, sometimes they stay on the books as zombie projects. And when they finally close them out, sometimes years later, if the appropriation was, say, for $1 million, but it cost them $500,000 to actually complete the project, came in under budget. Once they close it out, then $500,000 flows back into the general fund. So, and no one really knows how much of that money is out there. I'd love to find a way to sweep that together so there was like truth in accounting on those things. But at any rate, let's go back to the big numbers here. So we added up, what did you say, 70-some million, 80 million?
80 million plus or minus.
But I'm not advocating for spending below target reserve in the general fund, which is 28 million. I'm not advocating for touching the money that the borough or that the mayor is planning to spend as a deficit spend in the budget. So once you subtract all those things out, we have, this is the crux of it, we have over 35 million extra reserves, surplus reserves. And the folks who are pushing this election say, we have a disaster. You have to raise the taxes now in a May special election by 10 million or else the world's ending. And of course, there's a little hyperbole in my statement, but we got 35 million in the bank extra.
So I work in finance and I always try to not push my clients into a decision. I try to get them to have time to sleep on the decision. It's what my dad taught me. If you're going to make a big decision, take some time, sleep on it. When you have 35 million in surplus reserves and they're calling a special election because it's an emergency and we have to vote on it right now and we need 10 million and, oh, the school district has 8 million in its reserves on its own, there's no emergency. Maybe we do need to raise the funding and change how we fund, and maybe the borough needs to give even more generously than it has, but you do not need to be pressured into a special emergency election to vote on that. That should happen on the regular time. So,
and actually what they're doing is they're hiding the fact that they've failed in education.
Well, and that's what I bring up with my point about, you know, me working in finance, and anytime you're talking to someone, if they're pressuring you and rushing you towards a decision, that should be a little bit of a yellow flag. Like, hey, maybe there's something else going on. Maybe they're trying to rush me so I won't look at all the facts.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yes. When people came out to testify on this, there are many people, and most 2-1, I think they testified against the increase in the tax cap there, and I also testified against it. But one thing I mentioned in my testimony, but I'd never heard any follow-up or any thoughts, and I was saying, just could it be possible that they could have amended that ordinance to have the special election such that the $10 million increase would only be for 1 year? I don't know if that's awkward or not possible. Could they have done that, where it would, instead of forever and forever?
So I'm not legal, but I was in the Assembly for 6 years. Probably they could have. That sounds like something that would be legally permissible to me. But then again, you'd still have, why are they asking for a bonus $10 million one-off when they got $35 million extra in the bank?
And what they were doing is they were hiding that aspect prior to the vote. They were talking about having it for only 1 year. And then I had the mayor in here, and I asked him that on the air. He said, I can't answer that question because of legal. Once we got off the air, I said, okay. What's the answer? He goes, it's for permanent. It's permanent.
It basically is permanent.
Yeah.
There's a technical argument to be made that it isn't, but for all practical purposes, it's permanent.
Randy, thank you for the phone call, buddy. Good question. Appreciate it.
And you know what, David, I just want to say this on the air here. You know, it's because I'm running for mayor, this is relevant. If I had been mayor when this thing went through, I would have vetoed it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is our mayor actually authored it. And he should have been watching our money closer. He should have known how much money was there. Because now I really think if you talk to him, he's gotten cold feet on it. He's not such a big fan of it. But I do want to address the other issue that the side's going to be making. This is actually their best point. I'm going to make their best point for them. They're going to say, well, okay, you got some extra money. Maybe this could buy us a few years. What happens when a few years has passed? Well, the state's working on fixing its formula. Mm-hmm. There's some really weird things going on. One, there's the BSA that everyone pays attention to, which is just the formula of how much money per student the state's giving. If the state adjusts that up to what we think they are, our school district's going to get an extra $16 million, which is going to, they're assuming half of that's going to come through in their budget. So there's an extra $8 million above what the school district has budgeted for. The school district's asking for a bonus 10 from the borough. So if they get the bonus 8 from the state, there's only a $2 million hole.
I would look at it, that answer, in a different way. My thought would be, if we do this now, we don't need the money now, but you're going to blow the money now.
Yeah.
And then when we need it 3 to 5 years down the road, we're going to be doing this again because you've blown the money revenue now on growth that we didn't need.
Well, and that's what we've seen. They got a bunch of extra money during COVID. They've had this they've had declining enrollment for years and years and years. So there's no way this should have been a surprise funding issue, and yeah. It's not. So being rushed into a special election as this, oh, we just magically now we've got this shortfall. No, we didn't. This was all foreseen. We knew what the fundings were for years. We knew what the school trajectories were of student enrollments. So unfortunately, I don't think the school district administration, the board, is running as well. I don't think the borough assembly is running as well as you know, the city. And so I get to see a little bit of both in some of the hats that I wear. And conservative or liberal, the city, I think, does a fairly good job running a fairly tight budget. And the liberals and the conservatives work together. And I'd like to see that more at the school district. I'd like to see that more at the borough, so that way we can have better schools for our kids. And we just are seeing politics and dysfunction rather than people getting together and saying, let's solve this for the long term. The school district has been kicking the can down the road, and now they're going to spring some emergency vote on you when they've got the cash in the bank.
Very true.
I do want to redirect our conversation a little bit, because to the long-term issue, it really is a state issue. The state has a constitutional obligation. And I want to explain a statement I made at the chamber meeting. And I'm going to make the statement first, and some people are going to scratch their heads and be like, huh? How's that true? If you go out and buy a snow machine, the school district permanently gets less revenue from the state. That's how absurd the state formula is. That's why we need to have formula reform. So the way it works is the state every year does a annual guesstimation, like mass appraisal, if you will, or assessment of the personal property in the borough, which is going to be snow machines, trucks, cars, whatever, right? And they got those registration taxes.
Well, anytime Carpo makes money, we lose education value. I had to do that, Craig. I had to do that.
Right. So as that value stock rises, in their formula, basically they deduct the amount of money that they pay to our school district.
Yeah.
And it's absurd. They should not be doing that. So that's one of the things that needs to be addressed. And then there's also something that people are calling the required local contribution. This has to do with that value set, but also the property value. So when the combination of these goes up, the state also deducts its payment to the school district. And so there's these weird moving parts, and you know, they've been squeezing our school district. It's not just the BSA raw number not being indexed to inflation or increasing for the last 5, 6, 7 years. It is these other things that are squeezing the school district. And we actually have a good Republican representative who's looking into this right now.
Mike Prox.
Mike Prox is actively studying it and looking into it, and he's trying to make meaningful reform. That's the long-term solution. So the crux of my argument is, we got $35 million extra. You say you want 10, we got... Even at $10 million burn a year, that's 3 years to wait for the legislature. And sometimes you might need 3 years. The legislature's not fast.
And it didn't drop $20 million last year. It dropped 4, and it dropped 9 the year before that. So there's purposeful misinformation on the numbers, trying to make the 2023 a conservative borough assembly look bad, when a more liberal borough assembly dropped it even more in a good way.
That's the irony. Yeah. It's so ironic when you start looking at the facts.
If you think the school district needs more money, go tell the borough assembly to give them an emergency money, write the check, and then we need to talk to the state about fixing the long-term solution. But tell your friends and neighbors, there's no emergency that we need to raise your taxes right now.
And then go across the street from here over to the school district building and say, you know, there's a reason why people are fleeing out of your local schools, and it's your education system. That's, you try and fix that at the same time.
I'd say this, the school district really needs to buckle down and focus on the ABCs of education. Focus on your history, your science, your math, your PE, you know, just the core elements of a well-rounded education. If they do that, I think you're going to see some of these folks who've left for homeschooling come back.
We have 1 minute left, sir. Josh, how do you want to end it?
Aaron's absolutely right. We have some of the best charter schools in the country and some of the worst public schools. So we need to reform at the school board. We need to vote no on just this general government increase in funding. And then we probably need a vote later on for somebody like Aaron for mayor, so he can hold the line. But if you want a sign, or you want more information about the May 7th vote no, you can call or text me at 907-687-5597, 687-5597. Tell your friends and neighbors, vote no. We have the money to fund the schools without raising your taxes.
30 seconds, Aaron.
Yeah, if this tax hike goes through, we're going to have the highest tax burden we've ever had.
That's the bottom line.
I'm going to say that again. We're going to have the highest tax burden we've ever had if this goes through.
At a time when people are struggling, you might not be, I might not be, but the credit card debt is the highest in this country that it's ever been. Don't raise taxes on the people that are struggling when we have the money to fund education.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your informative, educated opinions today. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow.